Greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos, DontPerish.com, John 424 Radio. Hope you are doing well today. We had an awesome day. Street preaching at a festival. Thousands heard the gospel. We had good conversations. Go check it out. Look for the witnessing videos at DontPerish.com and look up the Marian Art Festival Preach. Lots of audios. Man, we dealt with some Satanists, some atheists, a bunch of seekers, churchianity people, worldly people, some angry event managers, all kinds of interesting experiences. So it was a glorious day. Today, I want to come to you. I found the time to work on my James 5. It's my last verse-by-verse study in James. We're in James chapter 5. We're going to do verses 16 to verse 20 today. We're going to finish up James 5, and then it's on to something else. So let's get right to it. I know this will bless you. James 5, starting with verse 16. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that ye might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay, so this word confess that James is using, a lot of people have this wrong. You know, a lot of people think that God is looking for you to confess and just say, I'm a big sinner, I feel bad for my sin, and then you stop right there and that God's going to forgive you because you feel bad for your sin. Actually, that's not true. The word confess means that we acknowledge and we agree. And when we confess, here's the thing, we're agreeing with God that we're in sin. And we know God's heart, holy, righteous, and just. He wants us to leave said sin. So we agree with God when we confess, and we are to leave our sin. So confessing is like repentance and leaving your sin. It's like confessing before a righteous judge. He's going to expect you to not keep doing that crime. Does that make sense? I hope it does. And then it says faults. Pereptuma. Faults is transgression or sin, right? That's what it clearly means. And then he says, confess them one to another. So this is telling us that saints, when they have relationship in the body, are to be sharing these struggles, these issues, were to help bear each other's burdens. Now, this is mostly in face-to-face fellowships. It's very hard to do long distance when you don't really have, not sharing life together face-to-face. This is mostly face-to-face he's talking about here, but we are to bear each other's burdens as best we can, and we try long distance to do that. We do the best that we can with people that we know scattered all over the world. And so we're to be praying for each other, carrying each other's burdens. This is what James is talking about. And he says, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. All right, so this is one of those verses that drives a nail, as they say, in the coffin of all of these false pastors and internet teachers and churchianity people that tell you, you can never be righteous. Nope, you can't be righteous. All your righteousness is as filthy rags. God doesn't see any of your righteousness. That's a lie. Go look up my article on filthy rags at the teaching blog. Clearly, God sees righteousness. Now, we don't have enough righteousness to save our souls. We need Christ's perfect righteousness. But God is looking for people to live and act righteous. In fact, it's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:9. Goodness, truth, and righteousness. Isn't that amazing? These false, wicked churchianity people and leaders and pastors will tell you you can't even have a fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is righteousness. Go read Ephesians 5:9. So James says, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's hundreds of references in the Bible of righteous people in Scripture. So check that out. Make sure that you're trying to strive for a righteous life. Christ is our salvation. Because of him, we do live righteous, and God sees that. The word fervent means active effort and work. So it should be something we're laboring at when it talks to a fervent prayer. Kind of like the woman that would not quit bothering the judge, and eventually he answered her request. That's how it is with God. Fervently going before God and praying. So in verse 16, he lays it all out. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed, he says. Healed, he's talking about physical healing, because in the previous study, he talked about putting oil on. But there's all types of healings. We can be healed physically. We can be healed spiritually. We can heal relationships. So all types of healing. I don't believe that God always heals everyone, but God in his will works and does healing. I still believe in miracles today. Verse 17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. So Brother James here is talking about the prophet Elijah, and he's giving us an example of God hearing a regular man's prayer. Elijah was just a man like you or I. He was not some super deity human. He was just a regular man. That's what he means when he says that he was a man of like passions. He's just a human with feelings and affections and emotions. 1 Kings 17:1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be a dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Yeah, Elijah said it, and God honored it, and it didn't happen. So what James is trying to tell us here is that God hears people's prayers, his people's prayers, and we're going to prove that by verse 18. Let's keep going. 18, and he prayed again, and the rain, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And you can read about that. It's at 1 Kings 18, 18:41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to top of Carmel. He bowed down to the ground and put his face between his knees. So he got prostrate before God. And he said to his servant, go up now and look towards the sea. And so he went up and looked, and he said, there's nothing. And then seven times he said, go again. There's that fervent prayer. Seven times he told the servant to go back. And then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. And now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girdeth up his loins, and he ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So he's just showing us that a regular man prayed, and God heard his prayers, and the Bible backs this up all over. So James is trying to encourage us to be righteous and to be serving God and to trust in prayer. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. This is what I preach all the time in the streets. Everybody thinks you can live a sinful, wicked means sinful, sinful, carnal, worldly, disobedient life, and God's still going to treat you like you're just one of his close people. That's not true. If you truly are of Christ, you're going to walk in his ways. You're not going to live in willful sin. You're not going to keep worldly ways. You're not going to be wicked. That's the whole point. And John 9:31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Hear that? A worshiper of God, that means you have faith in God and you do God's will. That means you're obeying God. You know, God's word always puts these key verses in there for us to frame the truth that we need to come away with. That's what's so dangerous about people that chop up the word of God, take away from God's word. Sometimes they add God's word. Like Satan, they twist God's word. I saw that in the street today, people twisting God's word. A guy today told me, Jesus said in Matthew 6, you're not supposed to stand on a street corner with a sign. I said, I think you mean he said, don't stand on a street corner and pray. You didn't see me praying today. He did tell me to go and preach, and he told me Jesus didn't come to divide. And I told him in Matthew 10, Jesus said he came to divide with a sword, mother from daughter, father from son. So people like to twist and take away from God's word. We got to make sure that we don't allow them to do that. So Elijah prayed, God heard him. James is giving us evidence for prayers. Very, very important that we have faith and trust and we cry out to God, pray for each other, look for healing, anoint each other with oil, and make sure that we're trusting that God's will be done. Don't be discouraged if the prayer isn't answered. Just know that it's God's will. Sometimes God's answer, God answers every prayer, ready? Sometimes his answer, many times his answer is no. He answered it. He just knows better. And the answer is no. All right, let's move on. Verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one converteth him. All right, so verse 19, James is warning of going into sin and losing your soul. Oh, so many Calvinistic, evangelical, easy believe people, they hate these verses. These are key verses right here, 19 and 20, that refute the Calvinists, once saved, always saved, greasy grace people that don't believe a true saint can lose their salvation. I get people all the time in the street telling me, James isn't talking to believers. Let's go and read this. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one converteth him, is a brethren a brother? Saints and seekers, if you're listening, yeah, he's talking to believers. Amen. He says error from the truth. Go look up that word error. I've had people tell me, well, that's not really sin. It just means if you misunderstand something or you're a little rebellious. It means roam, go astray, wander to sin. Clearly, James is telling us a believer can wander and go into willful sin, and we're going to learn it puts him in danger of hellfire. Hebrews 10:26, there's no sacrifice for willful ongoing sin. James says, if one converteth him, this is key, listen up here, convert, to revert, turn to cause to return. I have a question. If you're in Christ and you're safe in Christ and you can't lose your salvation and sin doesn't separate you even as a believer, what are you turning from? What's going to be the cost? What's the warning from Brother James here? You're turning from sin, all right? This is what it says. We just read it, to error. And we're going to see it gets even, the case gets built even more. This is similar to the prodigal son. We all know this parable, right? He had to turn. He had to revert. He had to come back to the Father to be alive again. It's like repentance. Ready? Luke 15:32. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. Hey, how can you be alive again if you've never been alive then dead? Yeah. People always ask me, can you be born again, again? I said, I don't like that saying. The Bible doesn't say be born again, again, again. But clearly you can be alive, then go into sin and be dead, and have to come back and converteth. Yeah, this is what James is telling us. Convert is the same word, ready? Used here in Acts. Acts 3:19. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Now, who's Peter talking to? Not brethren. He's talking to the Jews that knew Torah that didn't know Christ. Peter uses the same word convert for unbelievers that James is using for believers. That's telling. Wow. That means James is saying a brethren can be in the Lord. He can go into error, sin, and need to be turned back. What's going to happen? What does the Bible say will happen? Nothing. He loses some rewards. He looks a little foolish in heaven. Oh, no. No, no. False churchianity, the modern pastors, the easy believe people, the Calvinists, they say he just loses rewards, but that's not so. We're going to read on and see what the danger is. So verse 19, let's go back and recap. It says, brethren, if any of you, brethren, do error, sin from the truth, that means you've sinned and left the truth, and one converteth him, that means you got to turn him to come back. How convincing can this get? This is very convincing. And it gets even more in verse 20. What are we converting him from? What's the danger? Ready? Verse 20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner. Hold on. Error. The people that told me, well, he didn't really sin. It was just error. James says you converteth the sinner. What's a sinner? Transgression against God's law. Right here we see proof positive he's talking about sin. Anyone that converteth, that same word, turn them from, the sinner from the error of his way, you shall save him from some shame in heaven. No, it doesn't say that. You'll save him from losing some of his rewards. No, it doesn't say that. It says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sin. Save a soul from death. Again, converteth means to turn. It's similar to repent. Sinner proves the error was sin. Any sin's going to damn you. One lie to adultery, to drunkenness, to blasphemy, to heresy. Go read Revelation 22, 14, 15. One lie keeps you out of the kingdom. And what are we saving him from? You save a soul from death. Here you go. Death. Thanatos. It means a death that leads a soul to hell. It's just plain as day. And it's the same word that Jesus used to warn the brethren in verse 1 when I did that study. James 1:15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not error, my beloved brethren. Forgot about chapter 1. James says a brother can error and go into sin and death. You see how important it is to study God's word in its completeness and use God's word to help interpret God's word. And don't just listen to pastors. Don't just listen to any street preacher like me give you my opinion, give you bits and pieces of God's word. Put the puzzle together, saints and seekers, and you'll get the whole truth. So James 1:15 tells us right there, it's sin and it bring forth death. And brethren, you can error. It means hell. Sin will take you into hell. And here's one from Brother Paul. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Same word, thanatos. Same word. Paul used the same word to warn the worldly people about death. James uses the same word to warn the worldly people, to warn brethren about death. What this means is, in Acts and Corinthians, Paul and Peter are using the same word to describe to lost people as James uses in James chapter 1 and James chapter 5 to warn brethren about their sin and their fate, lest they repent of it. What this proves is that sin damns an unbeliever, and what this proves is willful sin damns a believer. Did you catch that? So sin is what separates us from God and damns our soul as unbelievers. When we repent and we become believers, if we live in willful sin, sin's going to separate us from God. This is what this is proving here. And he says it covers a multitude of sins. What does that mean? Well, when we confess, that means we're going to repent and turn from. We're going to walk in the truth and the light. John says this, John 1, 7 and 9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay, not just some sin, all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see that? If we confess, we agree with God we're in sin, we want to turn from it. If we walk in the light, then we can be cleansed. So it gives us the prescription of what we need. And Christ is powerful. He will take away all of our sin if we meet his conditions. Oh yeah, I get in trouble for that. Salvation has always been conditional. The covenants of God in the Old Testament and the covenants of God in the New Testament and every covenant before that with Abraham and Noah have always been conditional. If Noah doesn't build the ark, he drowns. If Adam and Eve don't eat that apple, they stay in the garden. If Abraham doesn't obey God and do what he's called to do, he wouldn't be given the promise to be the father of many peoples and nations. The covenants of God and salvation are always conditional. and the words of our Savior. You might say, well, that's just James and Peter and Paul. Yeah, the men that Jesus taught and called to preach his word. What about Jesus in Matthew 18? Go read it. He says, if a brother is in sin and he won't repent after you try two or three times, treat him like a publican. Publicans had no hope of eternal life. They were lost, damned people. Jesus said, treat him like that if he won't repent of his sin. That's a brother in the body of Christ. Go read Matthew 18. So this is very, very, very clear. When you read it and you look at the words and you look at other scriptures and you look at other authors and you look at the meaning from God's word, once saved, always saved, easy believe, raise your hand, get dipped in water, greasy grace, false churchianity, folks, modern pastors, corrupt evangelists, teachers online, they can't deny the word here. Whenever I get in this conversation, in about 2 minutes, they always say, well, we agree to disagree, and they walk away. That's not one interpretation of God's word that Peter's talking about. They want their own interpretation that tells them, I get to live in all my sin, and Christ still covers me no matter what. That's not what James is teaching. If what they're saying is true, Brother James and the Holy Spirit are far apart in truth, we might as well just do what Luther wanted to do. Ready? Luther, I reminded you when I did, I think it was in James chapter 1 and 2, Luther wanted to rip the book of James out of the Bible. Why? Because it doesn't teach faith alone, grace alone. It teaches you're not saved by faith alone. You're not saved by faith only. You're saved by faith and your works back up your faith. Works and faith, faith and works go together. Here, this is another linchpin where Luther would say, you can sin 1,000 times and nothing separates you from Christ. Sin boldly, Martin Luther said. What a heretic. Because Jesus is so powerful. You know what? I'm going to tell you something right now. You living in willful sin and losing your soul because you're holding on to sin does not make Jesus weak. It makes you weak. He's a mighty, powerful Savior to save. And when you choose sin and rebellion and wickedness, that is not his fault. That is your fault. And that's part of the covenant. It's like a husband and a wife. If a husband does everything he can for his wife and she chooses to go lay with another man, that is not on that man if he truly has done everything he can do. That is on that woman. She broke her covenant vow. And so ponder that. Think about that. I hope this is helping you to see the truth of God's word. All of us that are claiming Christ, you seekers that might be seeking to come to Christ, we better not be living in any known sin or we are going to suffer the fate James is warning of. Death and hell separated from Christ who came to redeem us. All right? I like to give you this story. The rich man was told by Jesus, ready? The rich man in Mark 10:21, Jesus says this. Mark 10:21. And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor. Give to the poor and thou shalt have treasure in heaven and come take up thy cross and follow me. One thing you lack, he said. And he loved him. Look at this. Jesus loved him so much and he wanted to instruct him on the one thing that he was lacking. He didn't say, hey, you're doing really good no matter what. He said, one thing you lack. He loved him and told him about the one thing he lacked. Go read Revelation 2 and 3. The churches are warned. They got a few things. They're going to have their lampstand removed. All right. God cares about one or two sins. He does. And look at churchianity today, keeping many, 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 many sins over and over and over. Saying God's going to overlook and God's not going to care and Jesus died to cover all that. Oh, no. Jesus doesn't cover any sin that you won't repent of and leave. Absolutely not. So this mindset that James is warning us about is a far cry from the people today we preach today. All the churchianity people saying we're fine, we're good, we can be worldly, we can live in sin, we can be carnal, we can keep false ways, we can keep feminism, pride, and vanity. All these people doing these false ways, They're not reading the book of James, are they? No, they're not. They're headed for the destruction that James is talking about, lest they turn from their sin and convert and come out of their sin. They are suffering death and hell. They're going to suffer death and hell. And so we love our neighbor enough to warn people. We love everyone in the streets. We love you online. Again, I'll say it again. We best not be lacking anything as believers in Christ, not holding on to any sin or willful sin. Death and hell is going to be our fate. It's outside of Christ's cleansing power, and it's on us. It's not on him. He's mighty to save. He's done everything he can to spare us and save us from the wrath of God that's coming. But we must do our part in this covenant. So go ponder that. Go read James 16 through 20. Do you see what I see? Do you see the warning of a brother in sin? First of all, fervent prayers. And then do you see the warning of sin? And do you see that we can spare a brother and call him out of his sin? And if we don't, he may lose his soul. Save a soul from death. Let that sink in, and I hope that's blessed you. That has finished the book of James. Praise God. He let me live long enough to finish the book of James. Going to pick another, I think, a New Testament book. Someday we're going to jump and dabble into the New Old Testament. I think we'll pick another New Testament book. Tomorrow we're hoping to street preach out at a church outside. And then we have a nice, quiet, cheap little state campground camp spot that we're going to go and retreat to. Sister Amma and I are going to restore, get in the Word, just be refreshed in the Lord. We're going to be working online too. We got a lot of projects to work on. I hope that you're striving in the gospel, in the kingdom of God. Go to our resources at don'tperish.com. They'll bless you. They'll help you. They're all for free because we love our neighbor and we want you to know the truth that will set you free. John 8:32. We love you all. Shoot us an email. Let us know how we can help you. Repent. Obey the gospel. Seek Christ. He is so worthy to be praised. And may God be praised.